Welcome to Chris's Cart Corner, episode 3. I know it has been a little bit since I brought you one of these, but I did promise a Star Wars episode back in March. It's been a little over 2 months since I published that episode. Apologies, I did mean to get an episode out end of April, early May. But things happened, and so that did not happen, and here we are. So back doing a cart corner, but you know, here's the thing. I played some racing games, and I've got some Star Wars stuff. I didn't dig deep into, let's say, how to say it. I didn't dig deep into kart racing in April or May. I played some stuff, but not enough that I felt like in April that, you know, we were capable of kind of like getting an episode out that made sense. Because by the time that April came around, by the time April rolled up at the end, I had only played Fast and Furious Arcade Edition, and that was it. That was the only racing game that I had really played in April. And then May, I was like, all right, well, in May, I'm going to play these Star Wars driving games, some of which are racers. Three of them are racing games, but four vehicle-based games, and kind of poke at them. And then Forza Horizon 6 came out, which I have been just enamored with, playing a ton of since it dropped. It's a great game. And we'll get more into Forza Horizon briefly. But I guess we should probably touch on Fast and Furious Arcade Edition first, and kind of explore that real briefly, because there's really not much there. I don't want to kind of disparage it, but Fast and Furious Arcade Edition is a mid game at best. It looks good. It plays well for what it is. It doesn't sound great, and it doesn't necessarily like. Look, I enjoyed it, but it is literally a 3 out of 5 game, or like slightly less if you really want to get into it, because there's only 6 tracks. I think there's 8 cars total, 6 tracks. And the game doesn't ever, like, once you learn how to race that game, and really what the key to it is, and it's very similar to Raw Thrill's other game, Cruisin' Blast, which came out on the Switch a few years back. But that is a fully fledged arcade racer brought to consoles. Fast and Furious Arcade Edition is just the arcade game ported. Like, that's it. There's 6 tracks, there's 8 cars. The 2 of the tracks are hard, like 2 of the tracks are easy, 2 of the tracks are medium, 2 of the tracks are hard. What that means, I don't know, because the same strategy for all of them, the same strategy across the board works for every track, for every car, for every race. And it doesn't matter if you're on easy. It doesn't matter if you're on medium. It doesn't matter if you're on hard. It doesn't matter if you moved on and now you're on the extreme mode. If you just hold your boosts until the last like 10 seconds or so of the race, you're going to win 9 out of 10 times. Like the race is very consistent. Like you're never going to pull very far ahead. There's always going to be a back and forth. There's some major rubber banding. So it doesn't matter how good you drive or how bad you drive, because driving bad, you can also, you know, through the magic of rubber banding, you'll be back in the race in no time. Like it's not, I never felt like, oh shit, I like kind of fucked up here. Now I'm out of it. Like you always have a shot at pulling even and taking the lead at the very end. And that's kind of the problem with it, because there's no, with only 6 tracks and the same strategy working for all 6 tracks with all 8 cars, there's nothing more to do there, right? Like there's no, hey, we should play this because we can upgrade our car to get better and that'll like make this track easier for us. No, every track is the same. Like they look cool, but they all have the same strategy. And that's unfortunate, because I think they're asking $30 for it. I think I paid $15 or $12.50. Like it was on sale, and that was why I finally picked it up. I think the retail price of Fast and Furious Arcade Edition sucks. At $30, that's insane. Also, calling this Fast and Furious makes little to no sense. The cars associated that you drive in the game are not, like, I wouldn't call them iconic cars to the series. Like you're not playing as characters from the series. The only thing that they kind of incorporate Fast and Furious wise into it is that the races are these missions that you have to complete. So it's like, get to the end and like stop the bomb on the train or stop the airplane. Or so like you're just racing to the end, and then the person who finishes first basically completes the mission. So like you'll knock the bomb off the plane or whatever. Like you'll get there, you'll hit the safe on the, I think it's the Columbia one, which is a little bit Fast and Furious 5 coded. It's kind of neat, but otherwise there's nothing really tying it to Fast and Furious other than the name. It's kind of a very limp brand association. So for me, it's a 5. But where does that place on our big list? And I am going to drop it at 65. It's slightly better than Atari Karts, and slightly worse than Smurfs Racer. So Fast and Furious Arcade Edition drops in at 65 overall. So the other big game, and it is a big game, because up until today, when the Mina the Hollower reviews dropped, it was the highest rated game of the year so far. Mina the Hollower just topping it off a little bit higher, I think like a point more on Open Critic, 92 versus 91 for Forza Horizon 6. Forza Horizon it's an offshoot of Forza Motorsport, which has been around since the original Xbox. Forza Horizon launched on Xbox 360, And then that continued into the next generation with Forza Horizon 2. And for a good while there, 6 years, in fact, we were getting a Forza Horizon game every 2 years through Forza Horizon 4. So 2012 to 2018, we were getting one like clockwork every 2 years. The Forza Horizon 5 came along. That was delayed. I believe it was supposed to come out in 2020, but COVID. So that one pushed to 2021. And then it has been dead silent on the Horizon front for 5 years. So in the first 6 years of the franchise's existence, we got four games. It has been almost that long since we've gotten a Forza Horizon game. And they finally dropped Forza Horizon 6. And it is set in Tokyo, Japan, something that fans have been clamoring for forever. And, hey guys, Forza Horizon 6 is very good. I've not finished yet, so we're not going to rank it today. But on the next episode, we'll touch on it a bit. We'll give the final ranking there. But my early impression... I say early, but I'm 25 hours into the game now. I have two wristbands left to go. I've driven 95% of the roads. I've gotten 95% of all the collectibles. I've done a lot in the game. Funny enough, while I've done so much in the game, I haven't done a lot of racing. It's not the game's fault. No, I've done about a third of all the events at this point, but I really just enjoy exploring the map, completing, like driving all the roads and getting the full completion there. So that's a lot of what I focused on this first weekend with the game, where I was really just driving around. They've added a new collectible called mascots. So each region of the map has these like cutesy little things that are associated with that region. It could be like a ramen bowl or like some mochi or a pea pod or tempura. Like there's like a bunch of different ones throughout. They're super cute. You got to find them all in the region. There's 200 of them, I believe, total. And so that was a lot of what I did the last few days with that game, was just driving around, hitting every road, finding every mascot. And then last night I decided I'm going to punch at the I'm going to make a concerted effort to collect all the billboards. Now, if you played previous Horizon games and you know about these billboards, you know that some of them are on like top of buildings, some of them are in trees, some of them are in like weird spots. So I've always been like, I'm never going to get those. And this time because of the persistent online nature of it, I'm like driving up to these markers where they have a billboard, and you can see other people attempting to get it. So I got a feel for how to start collecting these harder to reach billboards, and I think they're called XP boards. So I started to kind of get an idea of how to do it, and it involves like a lot of like finding the right angle and hitting the right slope to jump your car towards it. It's never pretty. Most times, like I clip something, but as long as you hit the board as well, it'll count as you're breaking it. So I currently have 190 out of 200, 192 out of 200. And That's the big thing here is the game has soft locked me from completing collection and full map coverage because I can't get to this one section of the map. It is locked off until you get the final wristband. It's called Legend Island. It's in the bottom right corner of the map, and you just can't go there until you get the final wristband. There's a gate on the one bridge, and then if you try and cross on the other bridge, which doesn't have a gate, it just backs you out and drops you back before you take that bridge. So it's like a temporal vortex you enter into. But I've been loving playing through this game, exploring everything, finding all the things. I don't know if they did this in 5 or if this is fully brand new, but I know in past games, you had to pay to fast travel, which was a pain. And it did make getting full map completion a giant pain in the ass because, oh shit, I missed like a little sliver of a road all the way on the other side of the map from where I'm at. So you'd have to drive all the way out there to like close that off. Now, any road that you have driven on and it is registered as you driven on it, you could fast travel to that point. So if you have like a small little road piece missing, you can fast travel there. Once you kind of explore the entire area, you'll get your billboards, you'll get your mascots, like they'll be on the board. So you know where they are, and it makes it a whole lot easier to collect the items. Now, I'll say this, I'm 25 hours in, and that in past games, because you couldn't just fast travel to certain spots on the map, it would take me another 15 or so hours to just complete because I'd be less inclined to like drive all the way across the map to try and do something and like try and flip my card to hit a billboard if it was going to take me like 3, 4, or 5 minutes to get across the map. Now you just kind of like position yourself right there. So while the map is bigger, while there's more to explore than ever, it also, because of the new fast travel, which I like, does mean I think I will be done with the game earlier than I normally would be. I'm not saying that in a bad way. There's a ton of other games for me to play. But everything you want from a Forza Horizon game is in here, though. There's the showcases. There is tons of races, tons of off-road racing, cross-country racing, road racing, street racing, drag racing. If you want to do stuff, it's there. There's also all the skill challenges like speed traps and speed zones and drift zones and danger signs. So all that is still here. They've brought back the stories. They've also introduced something which I haven't done yet called jobs. It seems like it's kind of like a crazy taxi-ish where you're going to like take on delivery jobs for like this food delivery group. So there's tons here. I think based on my early impressions of this, it is rivaling Forza Horizon 3 as the best in the series so far. I really, really am enjoying it a ton. It's great. And I enjoyed Forza Horizon 5. I thought that was a step up from 4, which again, I liked, but I felt coming off of 3, like 4 was kind of, while it had more to do, it was a bit of a step back. Forza Horizon 5 was a slight improvement on 4, and 6 is a huge improvement. We are back to rivaling 3. And they've fixed progression in a way that as much as I like 3, the progression in that game is a little borked. And I don't think they've gotten progression right in the series since the first one. Like the first has an awesome progression as you're kind of building up through this festival. By the end of 2, like, you're in charge of the festival. In 3, 4, and 5, you're basically like the star of the festival. And in 6, they throw you back to the wolves. You're starting over. And it feels good, man. Forza Horizon 6 is a phenomenal, phenomenal Simcade racer. And that's what I call it. It is simulation arcade. I know people are like, oh, well, Forza Motorsport is Simcade and Gran Turismo is Simcade. No, they're light sims. Like, Forza Horizon is an arcade game with sim driving mechanics and features on top of it. Like, you can go more simmy, but it is still an arcade game at its core. You're driving through trees. You're, you know, drifting around corners at ridiculous speeds, doing stupid shit with your car, doing giant jumps. That's not stuff you do in a sim racer. That's what you do in an arcade racer. So Forza Horizon is a Simcade game. GT and Forza Motorsport they're light sims, if you don't want to call them full sim games. They are light sim, console sim racing games. Forza Horizon is a simulation arcade game. So yeah, if you like arcade racing, if you like Forza Horizon 6 is a great one. You should play it. It's on Game Pass, or it's out there for purchase on PC and Xbox right now. And I believe by the end of the summer, maybe it'll be on PlayStation as well, or by the end of the year. It's been announced for 2026. Great game. Go play it. And that brings us to our Star Wars bit. Mandalorian and Grogu just came out. We're not a film podcast here. We're arcade and racing game show. But I liked it. I think it's fun. There is a decent chase sequence in it. So there's a little bit of racing in the Mandalorian and Grogu, where Grogu hops in a pram, basically a stroller, but like a hover stroller, and takes off chasing after their mark. And Din, the Mandalorian, he chases after using a rocket booster. It's cool. It's fun. If you enjoy Star Wars on any level, I think there's a lot to like there. And yeah, sure, it feels like a few episodes of The Mandalorian strung together. Of course it does. Like, that's kind of what it is. It's just, you go see it on a big screen and it's fun. Anyway, it's a big year for Star Wars. Returning to theaters with The Mandalorian and Grogu. And later this year, we're getting Galactic Racer, which is a return to Star Wars racing. So I thought it makes some sense to take a look at some Star Wars racing games. But the first one we're going to talk about isn't really a racing game. And I kind of knew this, but I thought maybe there'd be a little bit of racing because I've never really played it. I didn't have it as a kid or early adult when this game came out. So I certainly was not a kid in 2000. But Star Wars Demolition is a game where you play in Star Wars vehicles, but it's not a racing game. or not really a racing game. It's a vehicle combat game like Twisted Metal, Vigilante 8. It came out in 2000 on the Dreamcast and the PlayStation. Reviews, they're fine. The Dreamcast, I think, holds a 6.7 Metacritic. The PlayStation, a 6.3 rating. I played the Dreamcast version of it this go-round, except that's what I had available in my emulation deck here. The Dreamcast one was four players at the time. I did not play four players, but you could play basically Star Wars Twisted Metal with four friends on the Dreamcast version, or you could play Star Wars Twisted Metal on the PlayStation with two people. So if you really want to kind of like poke at it, the Dreamcast version is the better one to play, because the thing about Twisted Metal Vigilante 8 is those games, at least for me, aren't super engaging, but if you're playing with friends, they're kind of cool. Like you're just driving around trying to blow up your friends. Like that's fun to a degree for a bit of time. So playing on the Dreamcast, four players, I think that makes that the better of these games. But overall, man, like there's four game modes. It's like tournament, free run. There's like a practice mode and something else. I did not write it down. I just wrote four game modes. But here's the thing. It's kind of ugly. And the gameplay is a bit confusing. And it just drags on and on and on. And it's not particularly fun to play. So, yeah. I don't love it. I do not love it at all. And that's where that one is. Like, it's just, I think if you are a fan of Vigilante 8, Twisted Metal type games, you'll probably get more fun out of it than I did. I don't, as I said, I don't love those games. So, yeah. So there's that. It's mileage is going to vary. Next up on our list here, though, is episode one, Racer, which as I believe it was. So it originally came out in 1999, and it got a remaster in 2020. And episode one, Racer. When it originally came out, it scored well. N64 and Dreamcast got a 7.5. The PC version is 7.3. And what it is, ostensibly, is a pod racing game. If you've seen The Phantom Menace, you know what pod racing is, because there's an extended pod racing scene, and that entire track is in this game. So pod racing. It's fast. It's supposedly dangerous. Shit blows up real good if you fuck up. That's episode one. Racer is a damn fine racing game. Like, when you're playing it, there's this awesome sense of speed. Everything is moving by super fast, especially in the remaster. The remaster plays how you remember the N64 version playing, because it just looks as good as you thought that game looked 25 years ago. And playing through episode one Racer, that remaster, recently, it still really holds up. There's a good sense of progression, like in the career mode, as you're going along being these races, like when you win, you're getting like some credits and you can upgrade your ship, you upgrade your pod, and that gives your stats boost. And like, there's a good give back and forth. And because it's an arcade racer, it always feels really tight. Like the races are good. They're fun. It's a decent kind of push there. I don't really know what to say, like, because Episode One Racer is a great game. Like, it's a top tier Star Wars game, and this is despite it being, you know, coming out of the Phantom Menace. It's like this thing that's goofy shouldn't really work, but it does. And they've taken that, they've taken what is exciting about that scene, or I don't even know if I'd call it exciting, but they've distilled excitement from that scene and extended it to a bunch of like cool different tracks and given you a bunch of different characters. And like, yeah, Sebulba's there, and annoying Anakin, the kid, is there. Voiced by their actual actors, too. Jake Lloyd comes back and does Anakin, and Sebulba's voice actor reprises his role as well. So, yeah, Racer is an excellent racing game. And I think we've already talked about this when we kind of explored, when I gave that full list last episode. But Star Wars Episode One Racer coming in at 26 on that list. That's Episode One Racer. Which brings us to 2002's PlayStation exclusive Racer Revenge. Now, I have to say that I had not played this game until just recently. I never had it, and that's fine, right? Like, there's nothing particularly wrong with that. But I had not ever had it, and that's just kind of where it fell. Is like, I never really felt much about it, didn't really care, and yeah, so, So Racer Revenge, though, PlayStation 2 game, came out 2002. It's another pod racing game. It's a direct sequel to Racer, and we'll get into some of the funny stuff on that in one second here. But it released two generally favorable reviews as well, 7.3. which is the same score as the PC version from Episode One Racer. But there's issues, I think, with Racer Revenge. One of them, I guess, is we'll talk about the opening crawl here. So this is back when everything in Star Wars got an opening crawl. Like, it was like, that's, like, hey, you're Star Wars Monopoly had a fucking opening crawl, guys. Like, this was that era. Everything got an opening crawl. It was kind of the iconic piece of Star Wars. It's unfortunate that Disney's moved away from that. I know that they want to be like, well, opening crawls are for the big movies, the core lore movies, the Skywalker saga, basically, and everything else is just a story, and they shouldn't be held in the same regard. But there was a time when that was not the feeling, and all these video games, everything kind of had the cool scroll, had the John Williams score. Move on. Racer Revenge has an opening crawl, and it details Sebulba basically retiring after his loss to Anakin in Phantom Menace. And this picks up 8 years later with him coming out of retirement. He's put together a ruthless crew, I guess, of mechanics. I don't know. And he's finally going to get his revenge on Anakin. Now, if you know anything about Star Wars, at the end of The Phantom Menace, Obi-Wan picks, like he takes Qui-Gon's final request seriously. He advises that he's going to train Anakin, and to honor Qui-Gon's wish. And so since the Phantom Menace, Anakin's been a Padawan with the Jedi. What this game posits is that in those 8 years, the Jedi have continued to let Anakin Skywalker be a world famous, or I guess Outer Rim famous, pod racer, which is just absurd. And this is evidenced more when you get to the character select screen and you go to pick Anakin, and it is Anakin from Attack of the Clones. He is dressed like that. So this Padawan who has been training with Obi-Wan is evidently, according to this game, also maintaining his standing as one of the best pod racers on the pod racing circuit. And Sebulba is back, and he's going to get revenge on Anakin in this game. I did not finish it, but I played enough of it to know that, like, I played a good chunk of it. I played a bunch of races, and this is just more episode one racer. It's still fast. It's still fun. But the tracks feel a little overly familiar, even if some of them, I think they're new to the game, but they just kind of feel the same, because that's the one thing with arcade racing games is, like, they do all start to feel the same. And Racer's Revenge looks like a mid generation PlayStation 2 game. It's not great looking. It's not terrible looking, but it's not great looking. And that's kind of where it ends up. It's just, it's fine. Like, it looks fine. One thing I did notice was that the load times on the game are atrocious, like really, really bad. Yeah, like, aggressively bad is what I would kind of go with there. Like, it's really, really, really bad. So, but it does do some neat things that I don't remember from episode one racer. And I think this is a neat idea, is that each of the tracks has its own leaderboard. It has a leaderboard for lap time, so it'll display the top three, depending upon which view you get. But, like, you'll get, like, hey, this is the top racer on this. Here's their time. Here's the top racer on this for the entire race. Here's their time. And here's the top KO person racer on this track, and each of the tracks has that. It depends on which view you're looking at, because some of them will actually have, like, a 1-2-3 ranking, and I really do like that. Like, I think that's a neat idea. For otherwise, the game feels a little bare bones. It feels a little samey to episode one racer, but this gives it, like, an added something. So Racer Revenge, I'm giving it a 3 out of 5, or overall a 6, and it is going to place, it's funny because we just talked about this, because I had it, already had it listed, right? We're gonna place it at number 64, which was where Smurf Racer was. which was the game that was just above Fast and Furious Arcade Edition, which we started this one out on. So Star Wars Racer Revenge. Racer Revenge. Dropping that in at 64. Right below Garfield Kart 2 All You Can Drift, but right above Smurfs Racer at 64. It's fine. I would just recommend playing the 2020 remaster of Episode 1 Racer. I think it's a better game. But if you don't have that or can't get to that for whatever reason, Racer Revenge is out there. It is on PlayStation Plus Premium and PlayStation Classics for like $10. So go play that if you feel you need to play more pod racing. And last but not least, we're coming in to Star Wars Super Bombad Racing. Now, if you've listened to this previously, the last episode, I gave the rundown of where everything was, and Star Wars Super Bombad Racing slotted in at number 46. I'm here to tell you that I think that maybe that's a little high. But I'm not going to adjust it today, but I do think maybe it is a little high, which you're going to understand after you hear some of my commentary. Based on this recent revisiting of the game. Super Bombad Racing came out in 2001, another PlayStation 2 kind of exclusive. It reviewed well. 7.1 is what its Metacritic standing is as of today. And that's good. I think a 7.1 is a decent score. I don't even think that the demolition score of 6.7 or 6.3 is that bad. Like, they're okay. That's fine. A 7.1 is a decent score for any game. And Super Bombad Racing, at the time, critics really kind of liked it. There are some drawbacks, and I noticed them more on this revisit of the game, is there's not a lot of characters. Although the character designs, while goofy, creepy, and weird, I do kind of really enjoy. Like, they're like these big head characters. So it's like bobbleheads, basically. Like, they're on, their bodies fit on the cart that they're on, but then their heads are way too big. So I think it's really kind of funny. And the characters generally look ridiculous. I was playing as Darth Maul on this recent run, and he just looks absurd. Like, he's in his like little Sith fighter jet, and his big spiky ass head is there kind of like flopping around. But it works. It does work pretty well there. The one that doesn't work is Yoda. It is maybe the ugliest Yoda I've ever seen in anything. Let's see. What else to kind of approach here? Is the Episode 1 theming is not as strong, and I understand why they did it, because at the time, 2001, we weren't quite to Attack of the Clones yet, but Lucas was doing a lot. Like, they were releasing games, they had books, they had the movie. Like, in between the gaps between the movies, there was all this extra stuff, and Super Bombad Racing was one of those titles that kind of kept Star Wars moving while we waited for the next prequel film. But the Episode 1 theme is just, it's uninteresting, and it's kind of ugly. Like, this game I think this game could do very well if it had a remaster. I'm not saying remaster Super Bombad Racing, though, because I think Star Wars deserves more than what Super Bombad is giving to the world. It's also not, at the time, it's not an awful kart racer, but we have to kind of revisit it based on how kart racers today are. Like, you couldn't just remaster this and drop it, because the game only has 9 tracks. It has 9 tracks and like 8 characters. That's not enough for a full kart racing product today. It would need double that amount of characters minimum, with all sorts of like unlockable, customizable cosmetics for the characters and carts. And it also, you just need more than 9 tracks, man. Like, those tracks are, there's nothing wrong with them. They're fine. They're simplistic. I do think the Naboo Palace on like the Theed Palace or whatever, I think that whole layout is absolutely trash. Like, it's not an intuitive track to race on. But overall, the game is fun to play, but I can't see somebody coming in and remastering this, because as Star Wars fans, as kart racing fans, we just deserve something more than what this game is. And I would rather than them revisiting Super Bombad just make a Star Wars Galaxy kart racer, where you give us tracks on like Hoth, Tatooine, Endor, Crait, which is the salt planet from The Last Jedi. You could do a Canto Bight, which is the casino from there. Maz Kanata's, I think it's Maz Kanata, her palace in The Force Awakens. As always, you could do the Tatooine, the Mos Espa track from Episode One Racer and Racer Revenge. You could bring that back, and you could put that track into the game. You could do like Yavin 4. You could do a track on the Death Star. Like, I think that would be kind of fun and goofy. Coruscant would be a fun one. Corellia, like, you could approach it from all sorts of different angles. And there's so many different cool planets, so many different cool locations. Mustafar, I think that could be a fun track. But I would rather we do that and then just give us like a crazy ass roster of Star Wars characters. Like, give us original trilogy characters, give us prequel trilogy characters, give us sequel trilogy characters, give us cartoon characters, give us live action TV show characters, give us everything, man. Give us all that shit. Like, put Rod of the Hutt in a speeder, just like he was in The Mandalorian. Give us all of that into a new Star Wars kart racer. I think that's what we need. That's what we deserve as Star Wars fans. But that's not, no one's listening to me from there. But if you are at Disney, you are able to, you want to bring this to life, please give me a call, man. I am willing to come in and help with a kart racer for Star Wars. Like, I have so many ideas, and I think we could really make something cool. We, as in if you were to actually call me, but I think in general, I think something cool could be made with the Star Wars property and the Star Wars universe and an actual kart racer that's not just themed to Episode One. That said, I'm not dropping Star Wars Super Bombad Racing down from 46. I may at some point, because revisiting it now, it does not deserve the high space that I've given it. But I didn't do a full replay of it, and I think that's needed for me to kind of move Super Bombad down. So yeah, all right, so that's what we're at with that. Next time out, we will be discussing more Forza Horizon 6. We'll wrap that up, give the full review and rank it. And I also have a pair of early access kart racers that I think we can maybe talk about. This one, if I don't get it out before July 4th, it's probably not going to be until late July or August for it, but we'll see. We're probably looking at late July, August, though, for episode 4. Where we'll talk about, I have the Carters 2 Turbocharged, which is an early access kart racer, and I also have Super Indie Karts, which is a early access kart racer. I want to talk about both of those. I have them both installed and ready to go. And so. Come back, join us again in maybe a month, but likely two. And we'll talk more Forza Horizon 6. We'll give the post-mortem on that, because I'll be well done with that game by that point. And we'll talk on some early access kart racers and maybe some other stuff, depending upon what I play in that period of time. But as always, thanks for listening. I hope everyone out there is doing well, and I hope this brought you a little reprieve from reality as we talk about racing dumb cars through dumb things. Have a good one. Back later.